Do you have a party blower kind of sound effect?
We go over this every 100 episodes. No, I don't.
No. Okay. Because I looked for one and I didn't find one. Does that help?
Like physically in your house?
Yeah. You know, like the kids get it from a birthday party. You know.
I'm sure we have one somewhere. I can't find it either.
Because that would be awesome if we just did that for like 17 seconds. Just hit the horn.
Okay. What's the lead into that?
Do we need one?
No. I guess. And cue the horn. Hello and welcome to episode 300 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me as always is...
Adam, Vancouver.
What's going on, Adam?
Nothing.
Besides the 300, the obvious...
Oh, 300. I updated my website because it was going to expire. I think I mentioned that last time. I updated my website, put a few new pictures on.
Yeah.
And updated it so it will continue for all those who are hanging on pins and needles from last time. Yeah.
The big cliffhanger from last time.
Yeah, huge cliffhanger. So I really left it to the last minute and then got the urgent emails. Urgent, your website and domain and all these are going to expire. So
if you didn't leave things until the last minute, what would you do in the last minute?
Exactly. No, I agree 100%. You need something to do with that 0 hour.
Correct.
But I did post a picture of the image for the t-shirt logo on my website. So that's surely to drive huge traffic to my website under the creative section. I posted the Photoshop of me and the kids that got like placed on a t-shirt.
Like the logo itself or a photo of the shirt?
No, I just did the logo itself. You can imagine it on a white t-shirt.
I want to see it.
Infinitely more exciting when it gets put on a white t-shirt. Yeah. But another interesting thing. I made
more than one.
I made a second t-shirt.
Oh.
A second logo and a second t-shirt. Also, for the same trip. We're gonna be there more than one day. You need more than one custom t-shirt. Come on, man. Are you serious? Are you serious about this?
Yeah.
This is not a joke. This is for real.
My one regret here is that we're pretty much out of bachelor parties to go to.
I know. That's kind of part
unless,
of it.
Unless somebody gets remarried, which I'm hoping for, yeah. But... you know, we early on you made the shirt for my bachelor party in Vegas.
Yeah,
I made multiple other ones for other guys, and it's a highlight. But now that it's so easy, I'm
just gonna make shirts.
You know what we should do? I think we've talked about this before. You know how you celebrate your anniversary, obviously.
Yes.
You should celebrate like the 10-year anniversary of your bachelor party.
With another bachelor party.
Have we not discussed this?
No, but that's a very good idea. Oh, someone must be doing this.
Well, I've been over this in great detail with other people then. I thought it was you. But no. We have to. I mean, we're past 10 years on some of them.
Yeah. I'm past 10 years.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess, you must, considering.
2005, man.
Wow. Okay. Well, we missed yours. Mine's coming up in a few years. I got 3 years to plan mine.
Okay.
And we'll hit Vegas again, obviously. Or maybe not. Maybe Ibiza. That'd be fun. Mallorca. Something good. Something good like that.
Yeah.
We can go to one of these EDM festivals.
Why not?
That I hear about. That sounds good. But if you go to an EDM festival, you got to go shirts off. So no point in having a shirt for that.
You can make custom undies.
Yes.
Yeah. Logo right on your butt.
I like... Wow. Yeah, okay. I like the way you think. I'm in for that. I'm excited by that. 10-year anniversary of the bachelor party.
But let me tease this second t-shirt I made because it's awesome.
Okay.
Four quick photos, one of each person in our family against just kind of the blue wall each wearing the Mickey Mouse ears that we obtained on the last Disneyland trip.
Okay.
And then, you know, did one of those grids, like a four square with each person with the smiley face with the ears. And then I made a little border with some Mickey Mouse ears at Disneyland 2016, something along those lines, family trip. And then done. And so that one was no photoshopping, very easy. And I really like how it turned out, which is why I decided, oh, we need two shirts.
Yeah, no question.
So yeah, check that out, adamschwartz.ca. In my creative section, you'll see the two t-shirt logos if anyone's interested. But
they're both
they're both up there. I put them both up there. That's why I renewed this website. Let's drive massive traffic to this website.
All right, that's what we call clickbait. Yeah. I'm looking at it now. I'm looking at like the one with the blue background.
That's the second one.
That's the second one.
Which is the one that's got the castle is the first one with the Photoshop characters.
Right.
And then the second one, yeah, I put a blue background only because they print this on white. Uh-huh. And so what I realized after doing the first one is when you make a white outline and then there's some white background, but it gets printed on a white shirt and it's not a decal that stands out the
decal.
White on white. Yeah. Decal, whatever you want to call it, but it doesn't stand. The white is the same white. They just don't print that part, so it ends up not being as doesn't have as much pop to it. So that's why I put the blue background.
They're going to ask you to leave the park.
Why?
I'm looking at the I'm looking at it right now. They're gonna. They might not let you in.
Really?
With those shirts? Yeah.
The people love that kind
of
enthusiasm at the. What's that?
You're a security threat. I don't think you're not getting on the plane. I would hide this. I would
crazy eyes. Crazy eyes.
Yeah, I would probably like. I don't want to tell you how to run your life, but I would FedEx these ahead.
Right.
I don't think you want to be going through airport security with these on your possession.
Really? Wow.
They're going to worry them. Yeah. This smacks of Hinckley.
Okay, here's the thing.
He just got out. I feel bad now. He just got out.
Have you been?
He's a big fan. He's a big listener.
Have you been to Disneyland?
Not since I was a kid, like in the 80s.
This is kind of a thing. This is not exactly what I've done, but people making shirts, it's very, very common amongst people going to Disneyland. Everywhere else in the world, I understand your concerns of what someone wearing one of these shirts would be. Uh-huh. But in Disneyland, 100% acceptable. It's just that's the place where you do this.
Okay.
Yeah. So everyone else in the listening world, so your dad and his photo buddies, let us know what you think. Check it out.
Right. Now, is this a potential side business for you where like people are going to go to Disneyland, "Hey Adam, we need a custom shirt. What can you whip up for me?"
No, this is not the intention at all.
No, not the intention, but that's what
jealous rage. Everyone's I will say the over under on comments throughout one day at Disneyland on these shirts is going to be 25.
Okay. Is there any chance that you'll make a slight tweak to the second one?
With
the four squares, you call it the Disneyland bunch, like the Brady Bunch, because it looks kind of like the Brady Bunch logo.
Oh, yeah, I get you, yeah.
Make it the Disneyland Bunch 2016.
That's a great idea, had I not already sent it off to print.
Okay. Always double check with me.
Okay.
When it comes to t-shirts for Disneyland, I am kind of the Wayne Gretzky of that.
Okay, you're the editor in chief.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm the idea guy.
Okay. Next year.
I'm the Monday morning quarterback. Here's what you should have did.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love it. But like I said, like we'll come up. I'm gonna start working on the 10-year stagiversary.
Right.
Is that where we're going with stagiversary?
Sure.
I think so.
Yeah, sure.
Awesome. We'll do that. There'll be some golf.
And then, I mean, if we put it in the same like month every year, like what month was your stag in?
Oh, it was in January.
Oh, that's perfect. Staguary.
Staguary. I mean, yeah. Speaking
the
of
whole
which,
month, celebrate the whole month.
I like the way you think. Speaking of which, next coming up is Movember again.
Yeah,
but I'm starting my own this year, starting tomorrow.
Okay.
I'm gonna grow my back hair out for Backtober. Me and Dave Babbage and George the Animal Steel. we're all going to see.
I like that. That's good. I like that. You've put some thinking into this.
Nope. Zinged it right now.
Backtober. Yeah. The Movember thing, I mean, I like the idea of it, and I like the supporting the cause thing. Mm-hmm. It seems to have faded a bit in our parts anyways. Like, it was really big maybe 3 or 4 years ago, where you saw all the people on TV, like all the anchor people doing it on the news and on the sports channels, and uh-huh. it really seemed to tail off last year. So is it still really a thing like this year? Like, I don't know.
I tried it last year, but everybody just kept pointing at me and staring. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I said, hey, it's Charlie Chaplin. I could do better than that. Yeah, no one said that.
Yeah.
No one pointed in. I didn't even bother.
Yeah.
No, I didn't even bother. I don't know if it's a thing here. The definitely not a thing in Germany. The Movember.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Can't help you there.
Yeah.
I'm usually back in Canada in November though, and there's quite a few people doing it. I think it's just an excuse, really.
Yeah. I thought, you know, really, if you're that big on supporting the cause, just throw $50 in for prostate cancer, right? That's what it's for, right?
At this point, there's more people growing mustaches than donating to the cause.
That's what I mean. It's become more about the just the beard than the cause, and so that's kind of where it defeats the purpose to some degree.
You're a downer, buddy.
Yeah, I'm all about making the donation, but just make the donation.
But if you're not interested in growing a mustache and you're going to shave, buy your razors on Amazon.
Right.
That's where I would pick them up, have them delivered to your house, and click through our site. It's a big help.
Or click through the prostate cancer website.
Oh, for crying out loud. Wow. Click through the
Hey, they must have an Amazon click-through.
Right.
Donate to their cause.
I don't know that they do have an Amazon click-through. I do know if you go to their website, they do have Disneyland t-shirts, which you would not expect coming. You brought this on yourself.
What would be on those shirts? Oh, dear.
Really?
This went off the rails.
Episode
300, off the rails right now.
Oh, terrible. All right. You know why 300 is significant?
No.
Nice round number.
Okay.
That's it. I want to point out that we don't have anything special planned for 300.
So no, we're waiting for 450.
We're waiting for the next prime number, which I suppose is 301.
Great.
Is 301 a prime?
Yeah.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Not divisible by 3, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. All right. Did you shoot anything interesting? So no.
Did I? Not other than the t-shirts. That was my interesting. I did go on a photo walk with my daughter.
You okay?
And she shot some interesting things.
Are you going to post some of that?
Probably not, although we'll see. If anything's in focus, I might. Basically, we did a photo walk, and so she took my little camera and the new little camera, and I took my 60, and it was a nice day, and we didn't have anything to do, and my son and my wife were out doing something, and we said, oh, let's go for a photo walk, and she was into it, so we walked down, and it was a nice day, and we walked down to the dike and along the paths, and you know, just basically shooting whatever we thought was interesting. Her interesting was every post or pole along the way. We're talking like, you know, just the telephone pole, but up close, and the stop sign pole up close. And she thought it was hilarious. But so we came back, and she probably had like 28 pictures of just neighborhood posts and poles.
You got to make her a book of that.
I thought about it, and so I haven't gone through them to see if any of them are in focus, but I thought, here is my daughter's portrayal of Steveston Post. I thought this would be great as a museum show or an art gallery show. Very abstract.
I think it would. For real. I'm not joking. It'd be a kind of thing.
That's the sad thing. I was kind of joking about it with her, and it's like, nope, somebody would do that and actually call it art and sell the stuff.
I think it should be you. I think you should flip them all to black and white, obviously, because that's art.
Yeah.
And then make that happen.
All right. Maybe I will post a few of Sarah's collection of posts.
Yeah, I'm interested. I'm interested in seeing it. Do them all in black and white, though, for us. Maybe okay. add a funky, you know, border to them.
Okay.
And then, yeah, you're good to go. You got to throw some grain on there.
Oh, sure. All right. I'll crank it up. I mean, I imagine she was whatever setting she was in. I didn't dial anything in for her. So right. I think they could be all over the map, but I'm sure there's going to be some camera shake at some point, and I think there's probably going to be some noise just based on whatever the camera chose as the ISO, because she was not in full manual, that's for sure.
Of course.
Yeah.
All right. I finished that roll of film that I talked about last week.
Okay.
I think last week we talked about I went to the castle, only brought the Canonette.
Yeah.
And love that camera. I know you've done it. I know you have, together with me, you have processed your own film.
Once.
One time. And even then it was half a roll, but you processed it. And I don't know if that's something that you're ever going to want to get into.
Probably not.
No, not a fan, eh?
Maybe. No, it's not only that. It's just it's the process and the time. If I was retired, maybe. Maybe I'd find time for that, but yeah. As it is, you saw how many photos did I shoot this week? Very, very few. So the idea of shooting and then the processing, probably not.
No, I hear what you're saying.
Okay.
However, it is its own. I mean, I'm sure we touched on this when we recorded that episode like 200 episodes ago, where Adam shoots film.
Yeah.
But processing the film is in itself this weird Zen thing. Like taking the time to shoot, I know this is a hipster argument for why film is the greatest. Film is not the greatest, but I like it. But I as time intensive as it is, I very much like the process. I don't like the scanning. The scanning is terrible. However, the actual processing of the film I love. I love how it goes. I love the fact that there's pictures on there that I shot 6 months ago and forgot about. And then all of a sudden I see them again and think, oh, wow, they're still terrible. But they've been gestating for 6 months.
Yeah.
But no, the process itself, like the whole timing of it, I bet your daughter especially will be into it. I bet she will love it. Maybe in the next couple years. I think the first time I ever processed my own film, I think I was 12. It was at school, and I loved it, and I still do. And there's something about the process that is really awesome. So if that ever comes up, if you ever manage to make that happen, it's not a very big monetary investment to process black and white film in your house. Like you can do it in your house. You have the space that's required.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need a darkroom because of the whole hybrid digital analog deal. But buy yourself a Canonette. I know you have a film camera that was given to you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can find a Canonette, it's about probably going to cost you $20. Camera from the 70s, rangefinder, which I think we'll talk about next week. I think we're going to go into more detail about it.
The nice thing for me is if I ever decided to do this, the film camera that was given to me is compatible with my lenses, so with my yeah. Canon lenses, so that's kind of, I could stick the 85 on there and then shoot film, you know, with something that I'm very comfortable with.
Yeah, I don't like that at all. I want you out of your comfort zone.
Okay.
And the Canonette only it has a whatever it is, like a, I'm gonna say 43 mm. It's a weird lens. It's like, I think it's 43 millimeters. It's fixed. It's on there. You can't take it off.
Mm-hmm.
No, you can take it off. You just can't get it back on, really. So it's amazing, and I'll bet your daughter would love it. And to go and then, you know, anyway, point being, love the camera. Had multiple themes on this one roll because, you know, there was stuff I shot 6 months ago, and I, you know, left the camera for a while, picked it up. And so I took a number of different film photos, and I posted. I'll post three of them, just because they're very, very different. So here's the one of my kids in the pool,
mm-hmm.
The outdoor pool. This is the last day, the day before, like that's the day it closed. Everyone was at the pool. Next day, closed for winter. So we went out there, and I obviously do not hesitate to bring the canonet into the pool.
Mm-hmm.
So this is into the it's about chest deep for me, and so that's one shot of black and white, 100 AGFA film, by the way.
Okay, so for daylight.
Yep. And day before, we went to, there was a, they call it the Blaulicht Festival, which is, the Blaulicht means blue light, which is like the, which basically represents like the siren, like the flashing lights of, and with, they go with the sirens on police and ambulance and fire trucks.
Mm-hmm.
What do you call the lights on there? The strobes, whatever they are. You know what
on
I'm talking
fire
about.
Trucks?
Well, the red and blue, like it's red on where you are. It's red and it's red and blue for the police and red for the fire. And,
right. And it's not that. A siren. You wouldn't call it a siren.
It's bold. No, siren's the sound, though.
I know, but I still think you would refer to that as the siren.
Mm, okay.
Siren light.
Regardless, point is, it's called the Blaulicht here, and so what okay. they have is they have a whole thing set up, with all the different. You know, arms of the services come out, and they you know, and they put and they bring out their ambulances and fire trucks, etc. And so it turns out a buddy on my baseball team happens to be a paramedic, and so I saw him there and say, "Hey, Felix, let me snap your photo." So I had my camera with me, and so there's a photo of Felix in front of his Krankenwagen. And then the last photo was from the week before at the castle, and that's just like a panorama photo at the top of like the castle we're at is like on the top of a hill. It's like one of those kind of castles,
mm-hmm.
not the palace where they live. It's the more of the sort of military strategic castle. So it's on top of the hill near us in a place called Heckingen, and pretty sure it's Heckingen or Hagerlock. I don't know. Don't quote me. Anyways. So we had someone snap a quick family photo of us on top of there. But the point is, I just really, really like the film.
Cool.
The end.
The end. I think what I might do is I might try picking up a roll of black and white film, putting it in the film camera that I have, and taking some photos and then just sending it out for processing. And then I'll see how much I like it and if it's worth me investing any more time. How about that? I need a gateway entry into this, and I just, there's no way I'm going out and buying a bunch of chemicals and doing that at this stage. Uh-huh. But I could very easily go run through a roll of film in the next 6 months, and then once it's done, send it out, and then I'll see, like I say, do I like am I getting something out of it that I deem worthy of processing?
Okay,
that, you gotta give me that.
You can do that, but the general, the way it goes is, in order for you to get black and white film processed, it's actually very costly, even though to do it at home is not costly.
But maybe I'll just get color then.
Yeah. At that point, I would probably get color done.
Yeah, just because the cost wouldn't be much different, or it's more expensive to process black and white through a lab.
Yeah, I think it's more expensive to process black and white, even though if you do it at home...
It's cheap.
Yeah. Like black and white is like once you have the initial investment, which isn't very much money, under $100, let's say, to get a whole setup with a change bag, a tank, and all the and a reel and all those things, under 100 and the chemicals, under $100, after that it's pennies a roll. Whereas you're probably going to drop 20, well, you're going to get prints made probably too. So going to be about $20 to get it processed, I think. One roll.
All right. Well, I'm not sold on any of it, so.
Well, maybe we'll order it when next time I see you. Next time I'm at your house, we'll order it and maybe shoot a roll and see what you. Because I think your kids would love it for half an hour, and then that.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. And then yeah, moving on.
Great. Also, I shot some other stuff too. I shot some digital stuff. I shot. Website photos for a paving stone company.
Okay.
Yeah, I know that's
a close up of a brick.
No. But that's the thing. It's not the close ups. It's they want to showcase all of the work that they've done.
Okay.
So it's an ongoing project. Like I have another day to shoot next week, but basically it was getting in the car with the guy, the owner of the company, and driving all around, like, you know, a couple hours. each direction in multiple places all around the south of Germany of different work sites, like in different cities that their company has supplied the stones for.
Yeah.
All kinds of different stones. And so they want to showcase, you know, like went to Freiburg, for example, and all around, different bunch of different places. But I had to go out there and basically shoot these wide shots of this whole giant area, of like maybe it's a plaza, maybe it's a street, maybe whatever it is, and showcase their stones.
Gotcha.
Sounds easy.
Yeah.
Did not find it easy. Wickedly hard to make it interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see that for sure.
Yeah. So it was a stressful day. And that was what we, you know, it was supposed to be one day, but ultimately halfway through he realized there's no way we're getting to all these. We have to do two full days of shooting all around Germany. But so we'll do that next week. And once the website's up, I'll direct everybody to it and you can have a look and tell me how boring my photos are.
Okay.
There you go. All right. Photo challenge this week was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm starting to see the weather cool down a little bit. And so that was my suggestion.
Gotcha.
You want to go first or second? I always give you the option.
I'll go first.
All right. Let's have a look at yours. This is from the photo walk, I'm guessing.
It is. Yeah.
Look at the concentration.
Yeah. Yeah. She's very focused. I don't know what post she's shooting, but some kind of inanimate object that she's focused on. And I don't know, this is one of those things that you sort of mentioned, you know, cool tones and in the shadows. And this is at about 5 o'clock. So the sun is going down and it's a hazy day. So you can see in the background, like there's no, you know, this is daylight balance. So there's a lot of bluey tones. It's not, mm-hmm. It's certainly not as cool as I would have got if I waited another hour and a half and got it right when the sun was completely down. But that wasn't in the cards this evening for us. So basically this was sort of a day that looked like it was as blue as I was going to get. And I did take some pictures in the complete shadows, but they were just dull and boring. And so I thought, mm-hmm. Okay, well, at least this one I've got, you know, my daughter, you know, doing something. So there's an action associated with this. And I liked the background and I liked, you know, the grass and the yells and everything's very muted other than the sky in this photo. But the other thing, and I don't know, we've talked about this too much. And this is kind of more of one of those just tip things that, you know, when I looked at this photo, I really liked, which is her face is completely in sort of the shadow of this image,
mm-hmm.
and I really like it. And I don't do this very often. We tend to look for situations where the face is basically fully lit, and mm-hmm. we tend to light things this way as well. And it doesn't need to be that way. And sometimes you think, okay, well, when the face is in shadow, it kind of gives a very dark or mysterious look to the photo. And I disagree entirely in this situation. It doesn't at all. It doesn't make for any, you know, deep mystery, you know, exactly what she's doing. But I it makes it more interesting to me than if the light was squarely on her face and the rest of her face was in shadow. And I had taken a few photos of her in shade where the exposure is much more even. Mm-hmm. And it's not nearly as interesting as this is to me. And again, it's just my opinion. And I could show other examples of what I'm talking about, but I don't usually look for this. And then I thought maybe I should look for this more often.
It's funny you mentioned that, because when I issued this challenge, I was thinking the exact same thing. I'm going to shoot my kids in a shadow, and I'm also going to look for a situation where there is that orange light, where the orange light's coming in, like the late, for me it was late, you know, late evening, going to be the sunset, where the blue wouldn't be blue unless it was offset by something orange.
Right.
But, and then, like you said, just in the shadows itself is just kind of flat and boring. And so I ended up not even getting close to that. But is it me? Maybe it's me. Maybe it's my memory. Are the seasons shifting that much that generally I assume that at the end of September, you'd be able to find that sort of really blue look?
You can very early in the morning. And that's what I mean. Very late in the evening, when I'm driving to work, I saw it perfectly. But I'm also driving to work,
right?
And I don't really have time to pull over and shoot. But that exact light, I'm like, well, here it is, because I saw it a couple times on my way to work. Here's the light we're talking about, but it's either really early or quite late.
But midday, we're still getting the nice orange light.
Yes, nice, very warm much light. So. Yeah.
Because in my head, when I issued this challenge, I said, well, you know, we're coming to the end of the baseball season, like the Major League Baseball, and playoffs are coming. And in my head, I distinctly remembered sort of watching the baseball playoffs and World Series in that light, in that sort of bluish light that shows up in the shadows.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be a situation of me misremembering or just maybe we're 3 weeks early on this.
Yeah, I think maybe just a little bit early.
Yeah. All in all, picture's fine.
Yeah, exactly. It's fine. It's not what the challenge intended, but I did snap it and I did like it. And I don't know. It's just one of those things that situations where I'm going to look for not always lighting the face, which is always, I think, as a photographer, your first thought is, you know, make sure there, especially with kids, make sure there's enough light on their face. And again, sometimes it's okay to break that rule.
Watch movies, man. They don't always light the face. And like those, the guys who really know what they're doing don't always light the face.
There you go. Takeaway. There's a takeaway.
So as you can see, I meant to do the same thing, but like you, it came up, you know, was challenged and couldn't make it happen. So I decided to really just go the other way and just really go crazy blue, cool. And I shot my son today. This is a photo of this morning before he goes to kindy.
Mm-hmm. Now, was this done with a gel on the light, or was this done just in post with just really using the sliders?
Gel. This is a gel.
Okay, yeah.
This is a double CTB, because originally I thought we'd get a little bit of sunlight bleeding in to his room, which we didn't because of the angle, because this wall just in the morning he doesn't get any sun. So, but I was assuming getting some sun, which I was going to turn blue on its own by balancing for 3200. And then throwing a double CTB on the flash, the bare flash, camera left, and then slashing that across the wall and him. As it turned out, didn't really need it. Didn't need to go double, because I ended up white balancing at like around 5,000 anyways at daylight. But it's still so blue because of the CTB.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And not the most cooperative kid in the world. And in the morning. was into it for a second and then quickly faded. So, but this was cool.
I looked at it the first time I saw it, and I mean, again, I don't I'm not gonna beat around the bush. I don't love it.
It's creepy,
and it reminds me too much of, you know, basically the bad Instagram filters that people do.
Is that right?
They shoot this on their iPhone, and then they crank a vignette, and then they put the crazy weird filters on it, and that's what it reminds me of. And I hate that. Thanks a lot,
Instagrammers. You ruined it for me.
I really, and if you go on Instagram, you see all the weird filters that people use. I don't really use Instagram. I don't really know how, but my wife does, and so occasionally she sort of says, hey, check this out. And this happens too much. And like you say, shot out of the phone, apply the filter, vignetting, and so that's the feel that it gives me. It's like, yeah, this is kind of the Instagram.
Well, there's no actual vignetting here. A snoot on the light.
I know. I just mean sort of the dark at the bottom and the dark at the top, uh-huh, with such a bluey shade to it, and people saying, oh yeah, that's cool, like how'd you do that? And so yeah, no, I will take a pass on this.
Yeah, I'm not gonna do it again. Not like this. I mean, there's other things that we could do. There's again, in the spirit of we've done this many times in the last few weeks especially, is I really do feel I'm onto something here. Just not in this context,
right?
Like I do have other ideas where this would actually be like would work very, very, very well. Not involving my son, though.
And I can see it like with some sort of Halloween theme or something, right?
Possibly, but he's
dressed in his school clothes, looking like a deer in headlights, and then it's just weird. It's weird and a little bit off-putting.
Yeah, yeah. You know, this kid's watching you sleep.
Yeah.
You don't want that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Okay.
All right. Well, so this week, not that cool. Okay. That's what we learned.
Yeah.
All right. So this week, the topic this week, something that I'm guessing most of our listeners have dealt with. If you haven't dealt with this, you're going to. Working for free. This comes up. How often does this come up?
It comes up a lot.
A lot.
It came up a lot more when in the early going, right? When you're not necessarily, you don't necessarily have the portfolio to sort of show people, here's a bunch of paid work I've done.
But that's interesting. That's true.
Yeah. I think when you're at the point where, hey, here's some really good photos of my family, and that's your repertoire, then the free thing comes up quite a bit.
You'd be surprised, though. Even then, like, it comes up, and like, here's the popular phrase that I've heard many times is, you do this, it's gonna be great for exposure.
And where do you hear that from? Just individual friends, or do you hear that from professional? Like, a company's not going to say that.
Fortune 500 companies?
Yeah, exactly. No. I'm like, who's going to say that for exposure? Because that basically, saying it's good for exposure, suggests that they have a big audience that's going to see your photos.
No, they think they have a big audience.
Okay, I got
That's the difference.
It's a delusional friend.
Friends or acquaintances or people on Craigslist. There is, let's not distinguish, there... This goes on an awful lot now. And basically they say, yeah. Oh, don't worry. Yeah, you can put your watermark on them. And everyone will see your work. Will they?
Mm-hmm.
Will everyone see my work?
Probably not.
No. So the question really remains, should you work for free?
And I think the answer boils down to is if what you're doing is interesting or seems like fun to you, not just is it exposure, because for me, I mean, just at the point I'm at now, like, I still do some free work. Like, I did that photo shoot in Vancouver for Adam Carolla free, but that was also, hey, that's different. That's interesting. I like it. And I really didn't think about it as an exposure thing at all. I just thought, hey, this sounds like something that would be neat. I'm interested in seeing how this whole process goes, and I'm going to shoot in a different environment, and it's just going to be something different than I've ever done. So yeah, I'm in for that. And I think there's a lot of situations. If someone said, hey, I have a Lamborghini in my garage, would you be interested in coming and doing some photos? I'm not going to pay you. I'd be all for it. I'd be like, yeah, that sounds cool. I could really play around. This is a situation where I'm not going to get to do that very often, right?
So true.
That's the kind of thing that I'd be into doing for free. Now, if a friend of mine says, hey, do you want to come shoot my kid's graduation for free? I'm going to say, no, I think you can take care of that. just that's the difference, is that what are they going to do with it, and can they afford to pay me? If there's someone who really can't afford to pay me, then that's a different situation. But there's give and take with anything, and so I really look at it as, is it an experience that I'm interested in? And oftentimes, if I come across something, and even though a person might not be fishing, if there's an opportunity to do photos of something that would be very interesting to me. And I've done this with team sports, with, you know, that my kids are on, is I've done, you know, free for the team, like, you know, the panorama shot with, you know, done on green screen with all the kids kind of lined up. And I've done it for baseball and hockey, and, you know, no charge in that. But it's kind of a fun thing that I'm kind of doing for my kid as well. And everyone else might as well benefit.
Yes. The short answer I was going to give.
Okay, that was expanded version.
No, that was all very good info. I agree wholeheartedly. When somebody says, "Hey, should I work for free?" The answer is yes, you should. Absolutely, no question, you should work for free. If you want to be good at taking photos and successful at business of taking photos, you should prepare yourself to work for free.
But
all the time.
Exactly. Not all the time. if I mean, I sometimes turn down paid jobs because it's something that I don't want to do. So,
yes.
You know, if someone says, hey, I have a friend of a friend and their uncle's retiring and there's a retirement party in Burnaby and we're interested in you coming and doing photos. And, you know, it's going to take me an hour to drive out there. I'm going to be there for 2 hours and it's an hour. And they're like, yeah, we'll give you $250. I just, there's nothing that I would, you would have to pay me three times that for me to do all of that. It's just not something I want to do. And it's not even for people I directly know. Those are situations where not only would I not do it for free, I wouldn't even do it for like you say, for being what I think is undervaluing my time.
Correct. My breakdown is when I think about work, like forget the underpaid as you're talking about it, but just the working for free, because you get that offers a lot. You can find, like I said, you can find them on Craigslist. They, you know, hey, yeah, you work for exposure. My criteria is I have no interest in making somebody else rich if I'm not going to be compensated.
Right.
And you might not make them rich on this job, but what you're going to do is, like, let's say, you know, some guy, come take pictures of me for this, I need it for that. He's going to build his business on your back, and then when it comes time to pay, you're not getting paid. That's right. I don't need to get rich on every job. I'm not, I don't always sit and just count every single penny, but I'm not going to make somebody else rich. That's the big thing. And I've had it happen. I've worked on things where I thought, okay, this will be a good in. And for example, I worked on a movie being shot in Vancouver many, many years ago. And the director was looking for somebody. I talked to him and he said, yeah, we need someone to just kind of shoot some behind the scenes with my handy cam. And yeah, the deal was, and he's actually internet famous now, this guy. Maybe we'll have him on the show. But he said, yeah, you can just use my little Hi8 camera and basically be my assistant. I need you to get me coffee and this and that. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, how about instead of that, I will get you no coffee. I will bring my, at the time, very high-end Canon XL1 and my, you know, my awesome microphones. I'll bring that out and I'll shoot a real behind-the-scenes making of your movie. Because it's a very low-budget movie. And so he said, yeah, that'd be great. You know, that'd be awesome. And so in the interest of cultivating a relationship with this guy and other people in the business, I thought, I'm going to do it. I got paid a little bit of money, but really, really barely enough to make it worth my while in terms of money. But cultivating relationships was great. And the producer of the show, the guy who raised all the money and liked to walk around pretending that he knew what he was doing, didn't want me there. Couldn't understand what I was doing there. Did not understand that on the DVD, when you go to sell a DVD, you have the making of, like 20-minute documentary at the making of, that it's a big selling feature.
Mm-hmm.
So when all was said and done, the DVD was made and it was on there. He loved it, this producer.
Yeah.
This guy, he was at the time, I don't know what he's doing now. He was producing, you know, a couple movies a year in Vancouver, low budget stuff. And he recognized how important it was and loved the work. And he got in touch with me and said, well, his assistant did, because he's a big, very big deal, right? Guarantee you'd never heard of the guy.
Okay.
But he was a big deal in his head. So anyway, so his assistant got in touch and said, yeah, we love your work. We want you to come back out and do it for this show. It'll be the same deal, like no money. And I said, let me stop you right there. I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
I did it the one time. So what I did was, I guess in his eyes, I had established a bad precedent.
Right.
That he just assumed, well, he'll just come and work for free. Well, I can't spend exposure.
Yeah.
And I won't tell you the guy's name, but if you go on IMDb, I think you can probably figure it out based on my name and then what movie it was and whatnot. I'd like to point out that the director was awesome, loved the guy, and again, I'll try to have him on the show. Producer, not a fan. Not a fan of his moves.
I think that, you know, where the working for free thing gets a little tricky is, I think you have to really understand and know the person or people that you're working for free. And so for me, I draw the line based on does this person really appreciate what I'm doing? Do they understand what's involved and do they appreciate it? Because I have no problem working for free for people I know appreciate what I'm doing. And so a lot of people don't, and they just kind of look at it as, oh, hey, he's got a fancy camera and he takes nice pictures on the internet, so this is easy for him. And those are the same people that hardly would grant you a thank you after you do this kind of work. And so, I mean, I shot my cousin's wedding for free. And he paid me, so I mean, he had an inherent value of what this was and what I was doing, and he was so appreciative. And even though I had no intention of taking a dollar from him, he basically was like, no, we're covering your hotel room when you're staying at my wedding, and I'm paying you on top of that. Mm-hmm. And that's just the way it is. And so, but again, forget that aside, I knew that he appreciated what I was doing. And so it's not always just a monetary sort of thing for me for doing free. If someone asked me to do family photos and I really know how much they're going to enjoy this and they're going to tell other friends and just rave about what's being done, yeah, those are people that I would work for free. But you have to really be careful, because you have to know who you're dealing with in order to sort of get a good feeling out of that sort of engagement, right?
You want to make it worth your while, absolutely.
Well, and like you say, not even in a monetary sense. For me, yes. A lot of the times, because I'm not, I'm in a different situation for you, is that I'm not putting food on the table with my photography. It's extra income and it doesn't hurt, but mostly it's kind of play money that I use my photography money for. And so I'm not counting on it as income. And so a lot of times if there's something that I really want to do, like you say, I do it for free, because it's not really about exposure. It's more about do I get something that makes me feel good out of it? And that could just be a bunch of thank yous. And like you say, someone who I know is really going to make prints and put these on their walls. And that's important to me, because like I say, I'm not relying on this as my principal source of income.
But let's say you do. Let's say some of our listeners, who I happen to know some of them, are trying to make that transition from, you know, family photographer to, you know, working
full time work,
to getting work on it. You still want to work for free, but you really want to pick your spots. Now, think about it. What is the end game? Perhaps you're breaking into a new field, a new specialty. I want to take portraits, but I don't have, I've taken pictures of my kids at the park, or I've done this, or landscapes, but I want to get portraits. Well, now you're going to have to work for free. Probably. You can't just walk in and do that. You want to crack a new market. Whatever it is. For me, it was, do you want to work with Adam Carolla? The aforementioned, right, Adam Carolla. And for me, that was, in terms of video, there's a little bit of a sidetrack. But same principle is a little, it was about a year ago, actually. It was a year ago last week, because I saw something that they were going to the first time they were going to the Goodwood car race. And I said, hey, yeah, I'm in. I want to come work. And so I talked to the producer over there, the director, Nate Adams, and said, yeah, I'm in. I'll meet you guys there. And then the night before, this was 6 months ahead, the night before we're going to leave, he said, oh, hey, we haven't talked about money. You know, what about money? And I said, oh, well, I'm not sure what I'm doing. You know, what do you need me to do? Blah, blah, blah. I fully expected to not get paid. I didn't offer that. I didn't come out and say, hey, forget it. Don't pay me. But I was okay with doing this job and just basically breaking even. If you cover my plane ticket and give me somewhere to stay and whatever, we're good.
Right.
That wasn't the case. He paid me.
Right.
On top, I made money on the deal, which was great. That was not my focus. I wasn't doing this, because I need the, whatever money they're going to pay me. That was an afterthought.
Right.
But I quickly realized that this guy, I could trust these people. They value quality work, and thus, I'm in.
Yeah, and I think that same sort of philosophy applies, and I've applied it successfully in anything that I wanted to do photos for. For example, if you want to take photos, like if you want to do family photos and kids photos for people, and you have kids, it really helps to have kids. You know, we've talked about this in the past. Like at my kids' preschool one day, I went in and I just said, hey, you know, can I do some photos of the kids? I'm just going to provide prints for everybody, and this will be sort of a free thing for everybody. And, you know, a teacher asked the parents and everyone was okay with it. So one day when the preschool was all playing at the playground, I came out with the class and I snapped some photos of the different kids playing and just kind of interacting. And then I just made a whole bunch of prints at Costco and just said, you know, 3 or 4 prints of each kid and then handed them out. And everyone right away was like, wow, these are great. And you did this. And I got jobs out of that directly. Mm-hmm. And I applied the same thing to hockey. My kid plays hockey. I went to the rink. I took a whole bunch of pictures of him and the other guys playing hockey and I provided prints to people. And then people said, oh, can you do the team photo? And then I did a team photo and I got other teams saying, oh, who did that? Can you do our team photo? And that was paid work, and all it took was, well, who's your market? Go offer. You don't have to wait to be asked, but go offer to do some of this work for free in a market that you know you want to target. And once you provide, you know, good work, then magically people come and ask you to do it, and now you can ask for a fee. That's the
key
straight
there
business
is,
model.
The key there is they'll be good at it.
Well, no question. if you lay an egg on the free work, then certainly nobody's knocking down your door to try to get you to do paid work. But if you are good at it, or if you think you're good at it, this is the door is basically go to your market and do it for free. Ask them. That's always the way I've approached it. Don't wait to be asked.
You nailed it. That is the exact thing I wrote it down. That's the deal for working for free. Like if friends of ours come to our house, and they don't do this, but if they, because our friends all have class for legitimately, they never say, hey, can you snap a photo of my kid, unless they're going to pay me, and then they will insist on paying me.
Right.
If I offer, say, hey, while you're here, I get my camera out and start snapping photos, there will be no money. And they offered. Even then, they're like, oh, what do I owe you? No, forget it. I initiated this.
Right.
But if they ask, now I've had that happen. The old place we lived at before we moved into the house was an apartment building. And there's one guy in the building I didn't much care for. And I'm out snapping photos of my kids, and I saw him kind of hanging around. And he'd said something about, oh, hey, yeah, you want to snap a photo of me? No, I do not. Ever. I never will. You can hire me, and I won't do it now. We're done.
Yeah.
Because it was clear there was no money changing hands.
Right,
and so that was it. But if the same goes for working with strangers for free, if somebody seeks you out or like puts an ad on Craigslist, hey, I need a photographer, this and that, you know, there's no pay. A good rule of thumb is don't do it.
I would agree with that.
There are a few instances where you should do it, but honestly, overall, for the most part, stay away. If you put an ad out saying, hey, I'm looking to expand my portfolio, don't be creepy, but I need just do portrait shots of people. Anybody wants one, you can have. I'll do it for exposure. You can have it.
Right.
That's a much better way to approach it. You're going to get a much better experience out of that. Recently, I needed to subcontract a video guy, a shooter in Vancouver. For one of my clients, I couldn't make it to Vancouver, so I needed to hire somebody. So I looking all around, and I just looked on Craigslist, looking for people advertising for a job, saying, hey, you know, I'm a shooter,
right.
this is my qualifications. Found a guy, you know. So like I almost never employ people in this case because I'm kind of a one man gang, but I needed to do this. Now, a little background on me. I'm actually, despite being kind of a jerk in real life, I'm a very good employer. Okay? I pay pretty well. Like, the going rate. I don't lowball anybody. I know, okay, here's the deal.
Yeah.
Okay? I've made the mistake. I wrote this down. No, you know what it was? No, that's not the mistake. So I hired these guys. And ended up hiring these guys, but there was one audio clip missing. It's a mistake that I've made in the past and just told the guys, hey, don't worry about it. I'll cut right. around it. That's fine. So just an example of to tell you I am a good employer.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm looking to subcontract a guy. I found this other guy who I didn't hire. Advertising, and he had a great camera setup. He had like two cameras. I think he had a 5D and a 7D and all the great lenses. He had a great lighting setup, a fantastic expensive audio recording setup, like with an H4N and wireless mics. And just judging by his equipment list, I said, well, this guy knows what he's doing.
Right.
And he said at the bottom, hey, looking to expand my portfolio, will work for free. So I got in touch with him. But anyways, I said, well, there's alarm bells going off here. Something's odd.
Right.
But with this equipment list, he must know something. So I got in touch with him and found out really quickly that he I don't know why he has all this stuff, but he didn't know. And I said, listen, I don't want you for the free part. The free part was not what got me to call you. In fact, this is a paying client, a very important client for me. I do not wish to lose them. I would never send a free guy in.
Right.
I will pay.
Yeah.
And so if you're the right guy, I will pay you. No way I would send him in. And he basically said, hey, I'm not your guy. I need to do free work. No, he was legit. He's like, I have no clue. Maybe somebody left him some money and he decided to buy all this equipment. I have no clue.
Or maybe he stole this equipment.
Jeez, I hope not. Because I referred him to somebody who actually does need free work. Like I know somebody who that can help him. This guy I know, he actually does the things he does is he needs free work, which sounds shady when I'm dancing around it, but it's not shady. And it would be a mutually beneficial situation.
Okay.
So hopefully they're together making beautiful music. I don't know. That's the point. But
okay.
Also, don't hire someone who works for free because you get what you pay for.
Right. That's where you were going with that.
That was where I was going with that. But also...
But refer him to your buddy because he'll sort that out.
Well, it's a low risk on his end.
Right.
No one's going to get hurt on this deal.
Yeah.
So, but the last example, again, it's another Corolla example, is I was hired back a third time to work with the folks with Adam Corolla and the crew.
Okay.
To shoot video. That's what they brought me in to shoot video. That was my job. But I really like the whole team over there. I respect those guys. I want to continue this relationship, but also expand it. And so they know my work as a video guy. They know my work as a guy who probably has too many beers and passes out on the floor at night.
Mm-hmm.
They know that guy.
Yeah.
Not true. That's false. But I want them to know the guy. Hey, I take stills as well. So last June, when I was meeting them in England again, I brought my still photos equipment with me as well, which isn't, I'm shooting with my 5D anyways. It basically means throw a couple flashes in the bag and, maybe a different lens that you might not have shot with. And so I did that. I brought that with me. They didn't need photos. Photos were not on their radar at all. And if they did need somebody, they would have happily hired somebody. So it wasn't a situation of like, oh yeah, maybe we'll squeeze Alan for some photos. Never came up. But I offered to take a portrait of Adam in his racing suit. Because I said, I don't know if Adam has, any photos of himself. And here, I'll take the photo. You can just have it. You like it, you can use it. If you don't, oh well, I wasted 2 minutes of your life. You're fine. So we did that. We wandered off. I think I talked about this on a previous episode. Kind of in between races, just kind of ducked out behind the paddock and snapped in under 2 minutes, snapped a few photos, and they got one they liked. And so recently I saw it. They actually use it. Podcast One used it as a banner at some event in New York City where it was him and Shaquille O'Neal. And lo and behold, next to him is the photo I took. And then there's the one of Shaquille as well.
Right. Yeah, I'm looking at it. Now, I had a question for you. So you sent them the image.
Yes.
Right? And did they ask you for the Photoshop? Because I remember you took the sky out and you Photoshopped a new sky in behind him. And the poster, the sort of banner that I'm looking at he's not on the background. So did you send them the cutout version of just Corolla, or did they do this themselves?
They did this themselves, even
so
though
they cut him back out again.
They did. And I talked with Gary and said, hey, all you have to do is ask. I had that file. And he said, yeah, we didn't know. Podcast One did it. We didn't know. I would definitely would have asked you. And I said, I didn't care about permission. I had said, you guys do what you want with this.
Right. But yeah, they did a whole bunch more work on it than they needed to. Because you had that exact part cropped out already.
I had it. I could have just sent them the PSD file. They could have just thrown it up there, saved themselves a little bit of time.
Now, who showed you this? Because you didn't just come across this photo online. So did one of the people from Corolla's crew sort of say, hey, look where your photo is? Like, how did you get this?
I don't remember. This is a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
So I don't remember.
This would be a pretty obscure photo to find, him sitting at a convention. Like, I thought when you showed it to me, I thought, how did you actually come across this? So I thought someone must... From his gang must have sort of sent it to you. Look where your photo is.
I think Gary must have sent me a message and said, check it out.
In other news related to this photo, because at one point this was his Facebook, whatever you call it, cover photo, whatever the headshot is.
Uh-huh.
Gone. He's removed it.
Oh, yeah. No, he hates this now.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's, I'm done with you. You'll never
mine,
work in this town
however,
again.
Mine, however, remains. just so you know. Yeah, standing the test of time.
Is it right next to Shaq?
He has a picture of him and Jay Leno.
Yeah, but is your photo right next to Shaq? It's actually over his bed. Right. Okay, yeah. The point I was trying to make is, in terms of this, did I get exposure? No, not really. My name is not on this. You don't look at that picture and see, oh, well, you know, courtesy of Alan Attridge of the Two Hosers. That's not on there.
Right.
Am I going to see royalties from this picture?
No.
Probably not.
No.
Not so far.
No.
Maybe if he uses it as the cover of his book or something, he might talk to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
Was it worth it?
Yes.
Yeah, you betcha. Absolutely worth it. Like, this is the kind of relationship that you want to foster for free. Now, I was paid for the video work, so it wasn't like for me, it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't like I flew all the way out there, they had me come out, and then I shoot something, and then I don't get paid for it. This was my doing, saying, here, this is what I can do. And so I've since got a nice email from his assistant, really, where he says he was, you know, quoting Adam, saying very, very complimentary and really appreciates my talent, blah, 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 etc. So I know I've made an impression.
There you go.
I know that. And so moving forward, when there is stuff to be shot in Europe, let's say, I will be the first call that gets made. I'm certain of this. That, and to me, that was worth any potential downside. Like, you know, what would the royalties be on a photo like this? I have no clue.
$11.
If that. So for me, that's a humongous investment. I'm much happier to do that.
Okay.
So in the end, yes, you should absolutely, positively work for free. Just get your
pitch. For famous people.
Yeah. Just much like baseball, man, get your pitch. Okay? Don't swing at the first three ones you see. Wait till the guy brings that inside fastball.
Okay.
That's my pitch. By the way, P.S. Okay. P.S. That's where I like it. But, so consider that next time somebody says, hey, you work for the exposure. Don't just do that. You're all good. Speaking of that, I have a job I need you to do for me.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how it goes, yeah. Hey, listen, or my other favorite one. This is just to put a fine point on this. The favorite quote I hear, and when you hear this, go ahead and run. You're dealing with someone you don't want to work with again. Well, while you're here, which is that's always the move. It's like, well, you got your camera. While you're doing this job, can you just snap like 18 photos of this too?
Yeah, my favorite one, and this is again goes under the work for free, but it's usually driven by family. Is hey Adam, where's your camera?
Oh.
Yeah, that's even worse than while you're here because you don't actually physically have your camera or any intention of taking a photo. But hey, Adam, where's your camera? You should get this. This is really cute, or this is. And then that, I double down on, now I'm just going to throw my camera from the 10th story of a building.
You just fingernailed some chalkboards for me right there.
Yeah.
I hate that. And you know who always does that to me?
Who?
Your family. What is their deal?
I don't know.
They are users, man.
Yeah, totally. And they won't even let me take a photo.
All right, that's it. Working for free, do it. That's the culmination of 300 episodes. Photo challenge.
Make it a good one.
Oh, you always say that and then never do one yourself.
I do one every 86 episodes.
And they're brilliant.
Yeah, they are good. Mm-hmm. They're really, really good.
Well, mine is autumn, so if you can top that, go ahead.
Sure, autumn.
At least you have something to whine about.
I'm going
to
call mine fall.
I'm going to call mine Herbst. So there you go.
Okay.
Great. Websites. Hey, Adam, where can people find your t-shirt logos?
AdamSchwartz.ca. And
if you're within earshot of this show, highly recommend you see. You go click on there and check out those logos. Phenomenal.
Oh, and you know how, I don't know if you can do this on every website, but I use GoDaddy.com. I'm not trying to plug them or anything, but they give you statistics, right? On all the busiest day, busiest month, all the statistics pop right up when you go to make any edits. And I just, again, I never look at this stuff, but I happened to look at it. And then I was just curious, as the busiest day, my website, this is all coming full circle to our conversation about working for free. My busiest day of traffic for my website was, can you guess?
Easter.
No, the day after Adam Carolla's post of all my photos with a link of to my website.
There you go.
Yeah. So busiest day, which wasn't, I mean, it wasn't mind blowing, but it was over 100 visits in that day. And it was all basically in about a 3-hour time span of just people on Facebook that clicked through the link. So yeah, the busiest day. I usually average on my website about 10 to 15 visitors a day.
Okay.
And that day, topped the 100 mark in the day. So there you go. And it shows you where they're coming from, too. So you know that was all coming
inside
from Facebook.
The house.
Yeah, that's right. So there you go, working for free. And not that I don't sell anything on my website at all. But if you did, if you were someone who that was your primary business, then again, that working for free is exposure and then potentially work.
Yes.
There you go. All full circle there for you.
You did come full circle.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, good. Check my stuff out at alanattridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com where you can find the links and the photos and all the stuff and how you can hire me for free. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.